Good evening. Let's come to order and go on the record. I am Commissioner Tenola D. Brown Bland, the presiding commissioner for this hearing. And with me this evening are Commissioners Lyons Gray and Daniel G. Clodfeld. I now call for hearing docket number W390 sub 13 in the matter of request by public staff for appointment of Carolina Water Service, Inc. of North Carolina as emergency operator of the River Bend Estates Water System in Macon County, North Carolina. On May 9, 2017, the public staff filed a petition pursuant to GS-62-116B and GS-62-118B requesting the commission issue an order declaring an emergency, appointing Carolina Water Service, Inc. of North Carolina, also known as CWS, as the emergency operator, and approving an emergency rate increase on a provisional basis for the water system serving River Bend Estates in Macon County, North Carolina. On May 16, 2017, the commission issued an order appointing emergency operator, approving increased rates, and requiring customer notice. This order appointed CWS as emergency operator of the River Bend Estates water system, effective May 16, 2017. On May 31st, 2017, CWS filed a certificate of service and a revised certificate of service on June 1st, 2017, verifying the provision of customer notice of appointment of CWS as emergency operator for River Bend Estates Water System, for short, sometimes referred to as RUES or REWS, and also verifying the schedule of rates was a part of that notice to customers. On July 10, 2017, the Commission issued an order scheduling a show cause hearing on this date, Tuesday, August 15, 2017, this time and this place. This order requires REWS and Ronald L. Hardegree to appear before the Commission to show cause why it and he should not be subject to the sanctions provided by statute GS-62-310 et al., including monetary penalties for abandoning it and his obligation to provide water utility service in the franchise territory without first securing the commission's consent as required by General Statute 62-118 and or for failing to comply with the terms and conditions of Commission Rule R7-3. On July 12, 2017, numerous consumer statements of position were filed. And on July 20, 2017, CWS filed a certificate of service of customer notice. On July 27, 2017, CWS filed REWS's second quarter report per the commission order of May 16, 2017. And on August 11, 2017, the public staff filed a testimony and exhibit of witness Charles M. June. Pursuant to General Statute 138A-15E, I remind the members of the commission of our duty to avoid conflicts of interest and inquire at this time as to whether any commissioner has any known conflict of interest with respect to this docket. Let the record reflect that no conflicts were identified. I now call upon counsel for the parties to announce their appearance for the record, and I'll begin with
the public staff. Public staff, my name is William Brantmeyer. I'm the staff attorney with the public staff. We represent the using and consuming public, and with me is public staff utilities engineer Charles Junis, who is with our water division, and he is a registered professional engineer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grantmeyer.
Good evening. My name is Stuart Sloan. I'm serving as the attorney for River Bend Estates Water System, Inc., and I have with me Mr. Ronald Hardegree, who's the sole shareholder of the company.
Thank you for being here. All right, are there any preliminary matters that you wish the commission to address before we get into the hearing?
No, just one thing. We would call first is Charles Junis, and then we would have customers testify, and 9 people have signed up, and that may cut down. Some may not decide to testify, but to date, 9 have signed up, so we'll see what happens. So we would call Charles Junius then.
All right, before he comes around, Mr. Sloan, you'll be filing a witness?
Yes, we'll be calling Mr. Hardigree and possibly another witness who we have on call when it's our time to go. And we would ask that you would reserve a brief period of time before our witnesses to make an opening statement or a summary of what we'll be presenting.
All right, that's permissible. All right, Mr. Grant, my case is with you.
Yeah.
You place your left hand above, raise your right. Do you solemnly and sincerely swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
Right. Jim, if you want to speak up so that everyone can hear you.
I will do my best.
All right. Thank you.
Can you please state your name?
My name is Charles Junius.
And by whom are you employed?
The public staff of the North Carolina Utility Commission.
Now, did you cause to be filed in this case on August 11, 2017, pre-filed testimony consisting of 28 pages of testimony with 13 exhibits attached to it?
That is correct, sir.
Now, if I asked you to those same questions that are in your pre-filed testimony today, would your answers be the same?
That is correct.
Madam Chairperson, I would request that his testimony be copied into the record as if given orally and that the exhibits be identified.
That motion will be allowed. There being no objection.
No objection.
The testimony will be received and copied into the record word for word as if given orally from the witness stand, and the exhibits will be identified as they were when applied.
Do you have a summary of your testimony?
Yes, I do.
Will you please proceed? His summary is lengthy because many of the customers have not read his testimony, and we wanted them to hear key parts of the testimony. So he's going to read it into the summary now.
All right. Since the big crowd, we're going to turn around, and I'm going to try to speak as loudly as possible, too, so the commissioners can hear. They do have a copy of my summary, so they can kind of read along. My name is Charles Junius. I'm a utilities engineer with the Public Staff's Water, Sewer, and Communications Division. I am a licensed professional engineer in the state of North Carolina. My areas of investigation in this proceeding have been to assist Public Staff Accounting and Legal Divisions in reviewing company records and to coordinate with the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality Public Water Supply Section, herein referred to as PWSS, and compile documentation related to the compliance of Riverbend Estates Water System, Inc. I have described my investigation, findings, and recommendations in detail within my pre-filed testimony dated August 11, 2017. On July 10, 2017, the North Carolina Utilities Commission, herein referenced as Commission, issued an order scheduling show cause hearing. Ordering paragraphs 2, 3, and 5 state the following. Open quotes. 2, that REWS and Ronald L. Hardigree
shall... Now, REWS, can you identify who that is?
I apologize. REWS is Riverbend Estates Water System, Inc. I'm going to refer to that a lot.
And that is the water company that Ronald Hardigree is the sole owner of?
That is correct.
Sure. Okay, please proceed.
All right, so back to, in quotes, number 2, that REWS and Ronald L. Hardigree shall appear before the commission on that date and at that time to provide evidence to rebut the prima facie conclusion reached by the commission that, for all intents and purposes, REWS and or Ronald L. Hardigree abandoned its / his obligation to furnish water utility service to its customers without first securing consent of the commission as required by GS 62-118, that REWS has failed to comply with the terms and conditions of Commission Rule R7-3 and that these actions violate certain provisions of the Public Utilities Act, the Commission's rules, regulations, and orders, and the explicit and implicit terms and conditions included in the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, which the Commission awarded to REWS and or Ronald L. Hardegree. Three, that REWS and Ronald L. Hardegree shall appear before the Commission on that date and at that time to show cause why it slash he should not be subject to the sanctions provided by statute GS 62-310 et al., including monetary penalties for abandoning its slash his obligation to provide water utility service in REWS's franchise territory, without first securing the Commission's consent as required by GS 62-118, and or for failing to comply with the terms and conditions of Commission Rule R7-3. Five, that the public staff shall participate in the hearing on behalf of the using and consuming public. Close parentheses. Or, I'm sorry, close quotes. The system serves...
Now, what you were just reading, that was from the Commission order establishing this hearing.
That's correct. That's why we're here. The system serves approximately 136 connections in Riverbend Estates Subdivision in Macon County. Carolina Water Service, Inc. of North Carolina, herein referenced as Carolina Water, was appointed as emergency operator. I'm going to refer to that as EO. Of the Riverbend Estates water utility system by commission order dated May 16, 2017, and docket number W390-13. The history of the water system and its ownership has been detailed in my pre-filed testimony on pages 4, line 10, through page 17, line 4. For context, the following are the highlights of the history with significant relevance to this proceeding. On February 22, 1973, in docket number W390-0, the Commission issued a show cause order to Calvin Henson, the original developer of the Riverbend Estates subdivision, for failure to obtain a franchise for the Riverbend Estates water utility system in Macon County. Subsequently, Calvin Henson did file an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity in docket number W390-1. And on April 1st, 1974, the Commission issued an order dismissing show cause order. The Commission issued order granting temporary operating authority to Riverbend Estates, Inc., TA Riverbend Estates Water System, dated December 4th, 1974, which ordered the applicant to complete system improvements to bring the water system up to Division of Health Service, future reference DHS, standards.
Now, just for clarification, what that says is that the system as installed by this Calvin Henson was not to DHS standards, and the Commission ordered the system to be brought up to standards. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, please proceed.
By order dated December 10th, 1982, and docket number W390-4, the Commission approved the transfer of the water system from Sportland to Riverbend Water System, Inc., whose president was Albert Rudisill, who operated a local pump service and well supply business and had previously made improvements to the water system for Sportland. On February 25, 1987, in docket number W390-5, the Commission issued an order in the complaint proceeding filed by a customer alleging the water system was run down and in need of immediate repair, and there were frequent service interruptions, that the water quality was poor due to a high iron content, and that the Riverbend Water System, Inc. had not made the system corrections ordered by the Commission in docket number W390-4. In addition, Albert Rudisill, the president of Riverbend Water System, Inc., had moved to Florida, and it had been difficult for customers to contact him when problems were encountered. On October 7th, 1987, docket number W390-6, the Commission issued order approving stock transfer. The Commission issued order approving stock transfer, approving Albert Rudisill transferring his 100% of the stock in Riverbend Water System, Inc., 50% to Ronald L. Hardegree, and 50% to Geraldine M. Hardegree, hereby referenced as the Hardegrees. The Hardegrees stated that they would make the improvements as required in the February 25th, 1987 order as follows. A, have engineers update as-built plans and get them approved by DHS. B, filter the high-yield well for iron or drill another well if iron filtering cannot feasibly be done. C, install 20,000 gallons more storage in addition to the current 20,000 gallons.
Now, you were out there today and inspected the system, and you observed the storage tanks out there, did you not?
That is correct.
So it appears that 20,000 gallons more storage was installed.
That is how it appears.
Okay, please proceed.
D, install new main as needed, as an engineer recommends. E, provide 24-hour service man and truck using Rudisill Pump Service or other qualified subcontractors having specialty equipment that would not be feasible for the Hardegrees to own when needed. And F, meter all customers. Riverbend Water System, Inc. filed a general rate case in 1989, being docket number W390 sub 8. Andy Lee, the director of the Public Staff Water Division at the time, testified that the Hardegrees had completed all the commission-required improvements in the order dated October 7, 1987, with the exception of metering all customers.
So it was in October of 87 that the Hardegrees acquired the, or February 25, 87, when they acquired the water system, and by October they had completed the improvements based on your testimony?
That is correct.
With the exception of the meters?
That is correct.
Okay, please proceed.
All right. In the next general rate case in docket number W390 sub 10, with hearing held on July 23rd, 2002, several customers testified they had experienced episodes of brown or discolored water coming from their faucets and other plumbing fixtures. Riverbend Water System, Inc. had installed an iron removal filter and was flushing the distribution system monthly. Hearing examiner Stallings found in the order dated September 12, 2002, in the finding of fact number 14, open quotes, the water utility system serving Riverbend Estates subdivision is compliant with the NC Department of Environment and Natural Resources Division of Environmental Health, and the applicant is providing adequate water utility service. However, customers are continuing to experience slugs of brown water on a periodic basis, primarily the result of sediment buildup in the distribution mains. The company should investigate and report to the commission on the practicability, effectiveness, and cost of remedying this problem through each of the following approaches. One, sequestration. Two, scouring or cleaning the mains. And three, purchasing water from the town of Franklin, close quotes. In the summer of 2012, the town of Franklin bulk purchased water interconnection was completed, and the town of Franklin began to sell bulk metered water to Riverbend Estates Water System. Prior to the interconnection, the customers continued to experience discolored water and staining from iron. In addition, the wells had struggled to meet the demand. The Hardegrees had transferred the water system to a newly formed corporation, Riverbend Estates Water System, Inc., as we talked about here and referred to as REWS or RUS, in which the Hardegrees owned 100% of the stock.
Now, that is the company that is here before today, the Riverbend Estates Water System, Inc., that you refer to as REWS.
That is correct, okay. And Mr. Hardegree is the sole owner.
Okay, please proceed.
The order granting franchise, granting partial rate increase, and requiring customer notice dated February 26, 2013, in docket number W390 sub 11, granted a certificate of public convenience and necessity to REWS and a rate increase to include the expenses relating to purchased bulk water from the town of Franklin. No customers protested the applied for increase. The commission approved the metered rates as follows. Monthly base charge with zero usage of $19.52. Usage charge per 1,000 gallons of $5. The annual purchase water expense included in this rate case was $40,228, based upon average residential customer usage of 4,200 gallons per month, plus 10% water loss, and the town of Franklin's water usage rate of $5 per 1,000 gallons, plus a monthly base charge for for a 4-inch water meter of $440. Beginning in August of 2015, REWS only made partial purchased bulk water payments each month to the town of Franklin. The past due balances increased monthly with only a few exceptions. On May 20th, 2016, I received a call from Mr. Hardegree, and he expressed concerns about losing money and how he could return to utilizing his wells. Unfamiliar with the extensive history or details of the system at the time, I told him that typically there is a reason those wells were made inactive or decommissioned, and the initial permitting and testing would likely be costly. There would also be the cost to treat and or filter the wells if the reason was water quality. There would be the cost of additional wells if the reason was lack of production. To address any increase in the cost of purchased water, I referred him to GS-62-13311 and provided docket number W218 sub 428 as an exemplary pass-through petition. Mr. Hardegree indicated he would need his wife to call me back since she was, in quotes, smarter and would likely draft the petition. I left Mr. Hardegree with my phone number and assured him that I would be happy to assist her. I did not receive a follow-up communication from Mrs. Hardegree.
Can you briefly explain what a pass-through is?
So the idea of a pass-through is when the supplier of water or sewer increases their rates, then a private utility like Mr. Hardegree could apply to have that increase pass through into their rates. That way, they're recovering the expenses that they're incurring. So let's say Town of Franklin raised their rate from $5 to $6 per 1,000 gallons. He would be allowed to increase his usage rate by that dollar. So then he's being made whole too. So it's just an accounting thing in terms of his expenses.
Okay, please proceed. And that's a very simple procedure.
Very simple. The commission is actually held to either approve, deny, or approve with modifications within 60 days unless there's extenuating circumstances.
Okay,
so it's usually a quick process.
With your summary.
As of June 10th, 2016, REWS was indebted to the town of Franklin in the amount of $13,995, of which $11,347 was past due. Mrs. Hardegree executed a payment agreement with the town of Franklin dated June 10, 2016, with an agreed-upon payment plan to pay the current bill each month, plus $500 each week of the arrearage. However, REWS did not comply with the agreement. The commission-approved rates for REWS were reduced by order dated October 13, 2015, docket number W390 sub 12. For the repeal of the gross receipts tax by order dated May 26, 2016, docket number W390 sub 12, for the reduction to 4% of the North Carolina corporate income tax, and by order dated December 12, 2016, docket number W390 sub 12, for the reduction in the North Carolina corporate income tax rate to 3%.
Yeah, one point of clarification, these reductions in rates ordered by the commission, these are based on repeals of taxes or lowering of taxes by the North Carolina General Assembly, and these reductions apply to every water company in the state regulated by the utility commission. It did not just single out REWS, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, please proceed with your summary.
The commission-approved rates for REWS were monthly, metered monthly rates, residential service, base charge with zero usage of $18.67, a usage charge per 1,000 gallons of $4.79. The average monthly residential customer water bill was $38.79 based upon the REWS tax-reduced rates and the 4,200 gallons average monthly consumption from the most recent REWS general rate case decided in 2013.
Now, just a point of clarification, you were not with the public staff during the general rate case of 2013, is that correct?
That is correct. I did not work on
and
that case.
Your first contact with this system was when Mr. Hardegreen called you on May 20 of 2016?
That is correct.
Okay, please proceed.
The bulk water rate effective July 1, 2016, the town of Franklin charged REWS was a monthly base charge of $589.70, which included 24,000 gallons minimum and usage rate per 1,000 gallons of $6.60. The Public Staff Water Division on multiple occasions advised and provided instructions with the sample filing to Ronald Hardegreen for the filing of a purchased water pass-through rate increase. However, REWS has not filed for a pass-through. By letter dated October 10, 2016, see Junis Exhibit 1.
When you say Junis Exhibit 1, that's the exhibit attached to your testimony that's been refiled?
That is correct.
Okay, please proceed.
The town of Franklin advised Mr. and Mrs. Hardegreen that they owed the town $27,987, and the bulk water would be disconnected if the account was not paid in full by November 10, 2016. The town of Franklin's bulk water is the only water source for the Riverbend Estates water system, as the wells were disconnected in the summer of 2012. REWS sent to the 131 residential customers at the time a letter dated October 31st, 2016, see Junis Exhibit 2, stating that the company was at risk of closing in the next 30 days. The letter stated customers should make arrangements to start a personal account with the town of Franklin, and if that is not an option, to drill a water well for their residences. I want to make a point of clarification here that the town of Franklin has no interest in acquiring the distribution system, so setting up a personal account was not a realistic option. And also, drilling a personal well may not have been an option for all the customers based on setback requirements and other factors. So those two solutions were not necessarily real options for the residents.
When you say setback requirements, that would be based upon Macon County requirements for distances between septic tanks and
correct.
Residential wells and,
correct.
And other setback requirements. Please proceed.
Carolina Water's appointment as EO was effective May 16, 2017. The Commission approved provisional rates as follows. Metered rates, residential service, monthly base charge, zero usage, $35. Usage charge per 1,000 gallons, $11.95. In addition, the Commission's order appointing emergency operator and approving increased rates ordered, open quotes, five, that the following items of information shall be provided to Carolina Water within 3 business days of the effective date of the emergency operator appointment. A, customer information for each residence connected to the water system, containing at a minimum customer name, service address, billing address, contact phone numbers, home and work, and billing records. 6, that the following items of information shall be provided to Carolina Water within 10 business days of the effective date of the emergency operator appointment. A, copy of water system plans and specifications. B, copies of all monitoring reports and evaluations completed by Riverbend Estates Water System Inc. or its certified operator for the past 24 months. C, the names, addresses, and telephone number of all vendors providing materials and supplies for the water system operations. D, copies of all 2015 and 2016 property tax bills. E, copies of all 2016 and 2017 purchased bulk water bills from the town of Franklin, close quotes. Pertaining to REWS's compliance with ordering paragraphs 5A and 6A through E, the public staff has made the following findings. Due date of May 19th, 2017. 5A, customer information including name, billing address, and some phone numbers and email addresses were provided by REWS's counsel on May 15, 2017. The customer list included the open balance on each customer account. The outstanding balances total $11,677.70, and the accounting credits total $348.09. The net open balance totals $11,329.61. Approximately 60% of the accounts have an open balance less than $50, while 11% exceed $200. And the average water bill based on the tax-reduced rates and the 4,200 gallons of usage was $38.79. The customer list was generated by REWS on May 8, 2017, and likely includes bills issued in April, but not the majority of payments associated with those bills. Detailed billing records that include monthly consumption, bill amount, and payment history have not been provided as required by commission order and specifically requested by the public staff via email dated May 3rd, 2017, Junis Exhibit 3.
Yeah, the customer billing records, isn't that important? So if a customer contests the amount that supposedly is owed by the customer, Carolina Water, as the emergency operator, would have the ability to review with that customer what's been billed in the past and payments?
That's correct.
And you actually had a conversation with one of the customers here today to that effect.
That is correct.
Okay, please proceed.
Due date May 30th, 2017, 6A, a system map was provided to Carolina Water on June 29th, 2017. 6B through 6D, the information was materially provided. 6E, copies of all 2016 and 2017, with the exception to September 2016, October 2016, and June 2017, purchase bulk water bills from the town of Franklin were provided to Carolina Water on June 29, 2017. The information provided as ordered by paragraphs 6A through E was provided 30 days after the due date set by the commission.
Now, back up just a little bit. When you talk about the commission approved the rates for the emergency operator as provisional rates, can you explain what provisional rates mean?
So provisional rates are temporary. This is while Carolina Water operates this as an emergency operator. They are also subject to true-up. So if their expenses are less, there may be an opportunity for refunds if they overcollected. And again, they're temporary.
They are required to bill the commission-approved provisional rates, correct?
That is correct. You are required to bill the commission-approved rates, no less, no more, unless they are changed with commission approval.
Okay, please proceed.
With the 4% increased bulk water rate effective July 1, 2017, the town of Franklin charges to Carolina Water are a monthly base charge of $613.29, which includes 24,000 gallons minimum and usage charge per 1,000 gallons of $6.86.
As a point of clarification, when they first started, when REWS first started purchasing bulk water, the charge was $5 per 1,000 gallons, but effective July 1, 2017, it's up to $6.86.
That's correct.
Now, they are charged the outside commercial rate by the town of Franklin?
That is correct.
Okay, please proceed.
Based on review of copies of bills received from REWS and an account register from the town of Franklin, the public staff has calculated an updated amount of $53,821.28, which has been billed to REWS prior to Carolina Water becoming the emergency operator on May 16, 2017. Since becoming the EO, Carolina Water replaced a leaking 2-inch valve along I believe it's Zonka Lane, on May 19th, 2017. The invoice from Black Oak Maintenance and Repair, LLC, is attached to my pre-filed testimony as Junis Exhibit 5. In addition, Matchpoint Inc. submitted to Cavanaugh & Associates a leak detection survey. The stated objective of the survey was to, open quotes, provide some preliminary indication of the integrity of the distribution piping network, specifically identifying any breaks or leaks that have yet to surface, known as, in quotes, unreported leakage, close quotes. The survey identified one confirmed leaking fitting on the distribution mains and a suspected leak on a customer service after the meter, which were estimated to be leaking at a combined 0.25 gallons per minute or 10,950 gallons per month. Customer complaints. As of August 11th, 2017, the public staff has received approximately 33 written customer complaints, which were filed with the chief clerk and are generally in opposition to the magnitude of the provisional rate increase and that REWS should be held responsible. I apologize for the length here, but we have to get it on the record. And that REWS should be held responsible for their arrearage to the town. I've spoken to another three customers on the phone concerning the provisional rates and how long those rates will be effective. In addition, on April 28, 2017, a customer called Consumer Services, and I followed up immediately concerning a water service outage. Compliance. The public staff believes that REWS and Mr. Hardegree, as the president and sole shareholder of REWS, has abandoned the River Bend Estates water utility system. I apologize. All right. Has abandoned the River Bend Estates water utility system without commission approval as required by GS-62-118A. Neither REWS nor Mr. Hardegree applied to the commission for permission to abandon this water system. The commission has not issued an order authorizing the abandonment of the River Bend Estates water system. By letter dated October 10th, 2016, Junis Exhibit 1, the Town of Franklin advised Mr. and Mrs. Hardegree that they owed the town $27,987 and the bulk water would be disconnected if the account was not paid in full by November 10, 2016. The Town of Franklin's bulk water is the only water source for River Bend Estates as the wells were disconnected in the summer of 2012. Public staff attorney William Grantmeyer spoke with Summer Woodward, Franklin Town Manager, on November 7, 2016, and informed Ms. Woodward that the public staff would request the commission appoint an emergency operator pursuant to GS-62-118B and that the EO would assume all operations and responsibilities for the River Bend Estates water system, including payment of all Town of Franklin purchased water bills. The public staff contacted Mr. Hardegree on approximately 10 occasions subsequent to Mr. Hardegree's letter dated October 31st, 2016. Junis Exhibit 2. To customers attempting to obtain customer consumption information in order to calculate EO customer rates to recommend for commission approval to ensure the revenues would be adequate for the EO to pay the operating expenses. Mr. Hardegree informed me that his wife did all the customer billing and I would need to get the information from her. Mrs. Hardegree never would return my approximately six calls and never did provide the customer consumption billing information.
Can you again clarify why that information was important and why the public staff needed it?
Again, that's important for setting the provisional emergency operator rates, because if the usage assumption is incorrect, you could artificially inflate or deflate the rates, which would impact the emergency operator. So if you assume that the usage is too low, that increases the actual per unit cost. And so then if consumption is actually higher than that, you would be paying significantly too much. And it could work the opposite way.
Okay, please proceed with your summary.
The failure to provide this information constituted a violation of Commission Rule R7-3A. Finally, on May 4th, 2017, the public staff received 12 non-consecutive months of customer meter reading papers sent by the REWS attorney, Stuart Sloan. As the meter reading papers did not contain a full consecutive 12 months, the public staff used the 2013 REWS general rate case customer consumption information to calculate the public staff recommended EO rates. Public staff believes the failure by REWS and Mr. Hart agreed to pay the Town of Franklin's purchased water bills was an abandonment of the franchise service responsibilities, creating an emergency as all the residential customers were in imminent danger of losing all water service through discontinuance by the Town of Franklin for non-payment of the bulk purchased water. Neither REWS nor Mr. Hardigree made any payments to the Town of Franklin subsequent to February 21st, 2017. The Town of Franklin's bulk water is the only source for the Riverbend Estates water system. During the service period dated February 22nd, 2017 through May 22nd, 2017, the public staff estimates that REWS billed the residential customers approximately $19,000, but did not make any payments to the Town of Franklin. The public staff recommends the commission rule that the REWS abandonment was effective on February 22, 2017. The Town of Franklin purchased water bills and REWS payments from January 2016 through July 2017 have been summarized in a table as well as the bills dated May 22, 2017 and June 22, 2017. See Junis Exhibit 6.
And that's, again, attached to your testimony?
That is correct.
Okay, please proceed.
The complete failure to pay anything to the Town of Franklin subsequent to February 21st, 2017 violated GS 62-118B by creating the imminent discontinuance for non-payment by the Town of Franklin of the bulk purchased water, the only water source. The process of the public staff preparing the petition to the commission for the appointment of an EO enabled the customers to continue to receive water service. The public staff recommends that the commission order Mr. Hardigree and REWS jointly and severally to pay a penalty pursuant to GS 62-310 of $1,000 per day for each day from the last payment to the Town of Franklin on February 21st, 2017. Until the commission appointment of the emergency operator on May 16, 2017, being a total of $84,000 for the 84 days. The penalties described in GS 62-310 would not be payable to the Town of Franklin.
And is it your understanding that in North Carolina law, GS 62-310, that requires it not be paid, it goes to a different source? Is that correct?
That is what I've been told. That's my understanding.
And the commission has no jurisdiction on that, especially as you know.
That is my understanding.
Go ahead. Please proceed.
Mr. Hardigree is the president and sole owner of REWS. And upon advice of counsel, REWS has not complied with the requirements of the North Carolina Business Corporation Act. REWS has not filed the required annual report with the North Carolina Secretary of State subsequent to REWS's annual report for the fiscal year ending September 30th, 2013, as shown on Junis Exhibit 7. The public staff does not believe that REWS has held the required annual shareholder meetings. In addition, the previously described approximately $19,000 billed to customers has apparently been misapplied as these funds have not been utilized for the payment of the Town of Franklin bulk purchased water bills. The misapplication of this approximately $19,000 billed to customers is a material contributing factor to this willful abandonment. In lieu of the payment of the recommended $84,000 penalties, the public staff recommends the commission allow Mr. Hardegree 30 days from the date of the hearing, August 15, 2017, to pay the total purchased bulk water expense billed to REWS until May 16, 2017, of $53,821.28 owed to the Town of Franklin. If the balance has not been paid by the close of business on September 14, 2017, the Commission should apply to a Superior Court judge for enforcement of the $84,000 penalties.
So what you're doing there, the public staff is recommending that he pay the $53,821 to the Town of Franklin on before September 14th, and if so, then there should not be the $84,000 in penalties. Is that your recommendation?
That is correct.
That would be the public staff recommendation. Okay, please proceed.
Real property and assets. Prior to 2013, the water source was wells. There are five real property parcels which, to the best of the public staff's knowledge, were utilized for well production and or storage. These five parcels are listed by the Macon County Property Tax Office to Riverbend Water System, Inc., the company owned by Ronald Hardegree and his wife, Geraldine Hardegree, and granted the Riverbend Estates Water System franchise in 1987. Docket number W390 sub 6, order dated October 7th, 1987. These five real property parcels are shown on Junis Exhibit 8. The total combined property tax assessed value is $74,660. The corporation Riverbend Water System, Inc. was administratively dissolved by the North Carolina Secretary of State on December 1, 1993, as shown on Junis Exhibit 9. The public staff's online search of the Macon County Register of Deeds records does not reveal a transfer to REWS, as shown on Junis Exhibit 10. I've only spoken with Ronald Hardegree on the telephone and have not researched his entire business history. The public staff did search online the Macon County Register of Deeds for Ronald Hardegree, and Junis Exhibit 11 is the printout which reflects numerous real property transactions as grantor on deeds, grantee on deeds, and grantor on deeds of trust. Mr. Hardegree appears to be experienced in Macon County land transactions, including financing with deeds of trust. The most recent deed of trust executed by Ronald and Diane Hardegree is an equity line of credit deed of trust dated February 19, 2016, recorded on March 3rd, 2016, in deed book 2,335, page 2,342. Macon County Register of Deeds, as shown on Junis Exhibit 12. The lender is TD Bank NA. The maximum obligation limit is $220,000, as stated in paragraph number 3, and the property secured is a 1.42-acre tract, being the property conveyed to Ronald L. Hardegree by deed recorded on January 31st, 1984, in deed book 0-15, page 87, Macon County Register of Deeds. The public staff does not have access to the amounts obtained on this equity line of credit. The public...
Okay, so although the line of credit based on the deed of trust is $220,000, the public records do not show what amount, if any, was drawn on the line of credit. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, please proceed.
The public staff does not know why Mr. Hardegree did not utilize this equity line of credit to pay the Town of Franklin's bills. The amount due to the Town of Franklin, as shown on Junis Exhibit 1, on the deed of trust recording date was $17,971. A total of $12,741 was paid to the town of Franklin prior to the March 22, 2016 billing date. However, at no time after that payment did REWS or Mr. Hargreaves pay all the town of Franklin current monthly bills. As a result of the incomplete payments, the arrearages increased each month. The public staff believes this $220,000 equity line of credit provided Ronald Hardegree with adequate access to funds for a loan to REWS or equity infusions to REWS. Mr. Hardegree's willful failure to provide the necessary funds is a material contributing factor of the abandonment. We're almost there. The public staff searched the online records of the Macon County Property Tax Office for real property owned by Mr. Hardegree. Public staff found one parcel listed to Ronald L. Hardegree Sr. on McClure Mill Road with an assessed value of $218,550. Two parcels listed to Ronald L. Hardegree Sr. and Geraldine Hardegree, now deceased. One being on Firehouse Road with an assessed value of $271,890. And one described as two lots on, I apologize for the pronunciation, Coweta Lands with an assessed value of $96,690. These three parcels have a combined assessed value of $587,130. In addition, there's one parcel listed to Ronald Hardegree and wife Diane Hardegree, described as 1.40 acres Coweta, with a property tax assessed value of $120,270. These four tax real property parcels are shown on Junis Exhibit 13. The public staff believes Ronald Hardegree has had adequate access to funds in order to pay the town of Franklin. Mr. Hardegree's willful failure to do so is a material contributing factor to the abandonment.
And backing up just a minute, with regard to the equity, the deed of trust, the public staff did we not find any cancellation of that deed of trust?
We did not find a cancellation of that deed of trust.
Please proceed.
Request for additional REWS documents. Public staff recommends that the commission order Mr. Hardegree and REWS to file with the commission on or before September 14, 2017, the following. A, customer billing and payment records for each month, January 2016 through May 2017. B, copies of all REWS bank statements for each month, January 2016 through May 2017, including all REWS canceled checks. This would conclude my testimony summary.
Okay, now, those two recommendations right at the end, that was in addition to the public staff recommendation of the $84,000 penalty, is that correct?
That is correct.
And the public staff still stands by if Mr. Hardegree were to pay the $53,000 plus on it before September 14th, that the commission not assess the $84,000 penalty. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. We have he's available for cross-examination.
Mr. Dunis, my name is Stuart Sloan. I'm representing Mr. Hardegree.
Sloan, would you speak up, please?
Sure. My name is Stuart Sloan. I'm representing the Riverbend Estates Water System, Inc. You mentioned that you recommended that Mr. Hardegree be jointly and severally liable for the penalties you've recommended. On what basis in the law, whether Chapter 62 or some other basis, do you have to that he would have personal liability in this case?
That's a public staff recommendation, and I, as an engineer, would not have that basis.
Do you have any facts that you'd like to give that would demonstrate that he should have personal liability in this situation?
I would say as sole owner of the utility, he should be held responsible. That's my personal opinion.
So based on the fact that he's simply the sole owner, that's the only fact that you have here today?
I would object. This is a legal opinion, and he's not qualified as a legal expert. The public staff plans to address that, the piercing of the corporate veil in our proposed order and possibly in a brief also. But we feel we've established the fact. We've established the facts.
If you want to ask him about specific facts that he might know, if you can draw them out that way.
I think I have.
To justify to his knowledge. Beyond that, on the legal question, I should stay.
I'm satisfied with his answer to the prior question. You mentioned that Mr. Hardegree willfully failed to pay. What are the facts that you have to demonstrate that he had an intention not to pay this bill?
I think that boils down to the approximately $19,000 collected after February 2017.
Okay, good. So how did you calculate the $19,000?
That's making a usage assumption and then that number of days.
So you don't have any evidence here today that he actually collected the money?
We do not have evidence today, and that's because that information was not provided as ordered by the commission.
So I'll refer to your testimony on page 22. Public staff estimates, this is an estimate, but you don't have any basis in fact.
That's correct.
Now, you've talked about provision 62-310. It's relating to the penalty provision.
Yes, sir.
Do you happen to have a copy of that?
I believe I do.
I just have one copy of that. Sorry. In that law, it says that a public utility which violates any of the provisions of this chapter or refuses to conform to any order.
Thanks.
What evidence do you have that Mr. Hardegree refused?
All right, can you repeat that? I'm
okay,
sorry,
sure.
I was trying to get
I'll
it
get a
in front
more specific.
Of me.
You've testified that 30 days, the emergency operator order was entered and that Mr. Hardegree was required, actually the company was required to deliver certain records, and there was a period of time to deliver some records and a period of time to deliver other records. And so are you contending that the failure to deliver those records for that order implicates this penalty provision?
I believe that is part of the argument because there was no request for extension of time to deliver those documents.
Okay, but it says that if he refuses, do you have anything in the facts or that you heard from Mr. Hardegree that he had refused or would refuse to do that?
We spoke with Mr. and Mrs. Hardegree. We were told that they were going to provide that information and did not, and I would consider that a refusal.
So if he was unable to provide it, what if he didn't actually have the record? Would that be a refusal?
If he was unable, he should have indicated that he was unable.
But you don't have any evidence today whether he's able or unable.
We were informed that he was able because he said he was going to provide it and he did not.
Who informed you that?
When we spoke to Mr. and Mrs. Hardegree on the phone, they said they would share their QuickBooks records. I would assume that would include billing, their collections, and their expenses. Any business should keep accounting records, and that's part of R17-3.
When did they tell you that?
I have the phone conversation. Let me find it. May 17th, 2017.
Are you referring to an exhibit?
No, I'm referring to my personal notes.
Did you ever give any written request to the company or the Hardegrees to provide any of the information that you asked for in your testimony?
Thank you. Okay. My email dated May 3rd, 2017, submitted as Junis Exhibit 3. I asked for names and mailing address of each customer, service location of each customer, one-year billing history of each customer, including gallons billed and any amounts of customer currently owes. I feel that applies, and that would be documentation either in support or opposed to the $19,000 estimate.
Under this written request, number one, did they provide names and mailing address for each customer?
They provided names and, I believe, mailing addresses.
Number two, did they provide a service location for each of the customers?
If that's the mailing address, but I wouldn't consider that the service location. I never personally saw a map of service locations. I would consider service location, where's that line on the property? Where's the meter on that property?
And number three, one-year billing history for each customer. Did you receive that?
That was the incomplete, if I'm remembering correctly from my testimony. Oh, that's a twist. So, as it relates to ordering paragraph 5A, I go into detail not only in my testimony, but also in the summary that the detailed billing records that include monthly consumption, bill amount, and payment history have not been provided as required by commission order and specifically requested in my email.
I'm specifically interested in any written requests prior to this date, May 3rd, 2017.
No.
You've alleged that the Riverbend Ruse abandoned the water system. Can you review again what particular facts you're pointing to that show abandonment?
Without going into my summary and my detailed testimony again, I think the main points are not paying the town of Franklin since February 21st, 2017. We're taking in payments from customers since that date, but not making a payment, and also not completely making payments to the town since the $12,000 payment.
So it centers around paying the town of Franklin.
That's a significant portion. The other significant portion is these detailed records are required to be held by the company and should be able to be accessed by the public staff and the commission upon request.
Did you ever request, we'll get to that in a minute, but we're talking about abandonment. On the payment issue, what if the company wasn't able to pay? Would that change your opinion about abandonment?
I don't think it would change the argument of abandonment. It may change the public staff's recommendation for a penalty or a course of action to resolve the issue.
Okay, I'm going to show the witness. I have, from my composite exhibit, some pages in the back. I'd like the witness to review these. Mr. Grantmeyer, I can point these out to you. Right in the back, it's check cut 57, 58, and 60.
Okay. So, Mr. Sloan, let's identify the record. There's a composite exhibit, which is a book.
Yes, for the record, I've prepared a composite exhibit. I'll hand it to Mr. Grantmeyer. I have two two copies I could hand to the commission if you'd like to follow along. Apologize for not having the third copy.
So I need to identify this for the record. This is a notebook, three-ring binder. The front page says River Bend Estate Water System with a table of contents of four enumerated items listed. And the booklet has five tabs. So if you speak about pieces you pulled out, you need to identify where they are here. This notebook taken together will be identified as REWS Hardegree Exhibit Number 1.
Okay, Mr. Judas, I'm going to the back of this book. It's a collection of checks of River Bend Estates Water System, Inc. And it's what you've asked for in your order we're providing here today. It's every check within the time period that you've asked for. And so I'm pulling out, in the back of the book there, check numbers 1258, 1260, and 1257. I'd like to look at those for a minute. May I approach the witness?
You may. Could you just one more time, as my other commissioner has the book, could you just identify for him where you found the book?
Yes, check numbers 1257, 58, and 60.
They're the last three checks, or four checks, three of the last four checks in the book.
Would you permit if I approach the witness, if I may? These checks, I'll refer to number 1260. Mr. Genis, do you know the identity of EAS, the payee there in that check? Just off the top of your head.
Not off the top of my head.
Okay. If I told you it was a water testing company and it says in the remitter testing through 317, would you agree with me?
That is what it says.
Would you agree that it's a water testing company?
Was that one of the two vendors provided?
It was.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't remember off the top of my head.
And the date on that check, what's the date on that check?
It is dated June 6, 2017.
And then on check number 1258, we're going backwards here, we have a check to Mr. Chris Brock, and in the subject line it says meter reading. And then on 1257, and the date on that check, the date on 1258 is April 30, 2017. And then on 1257, we have a check to Jeffrey Hooper, April 28, 2017, and it says work in Riverbend leak. Now, do these checks, would you change your opinion of abandonment if these checks represented work being done at the time those checks were written, or work being paid for and being done on the dates of those checks? Would you change your opinion that the water system was abandoned by Mr. Hardegree?
This iteration would be considered, but I think the conclusion would still be abandonment, since the town of Franklin was threatening discontinuance of service, which would mean zero water for these 131 to 136 customers.
Okay, so let's talk about the town of Franklin. If I may approach and take that as exhibit.
Yep.
The town of Franklin, are you aware of any conversations between River Bend Estates Water System and the town of Franklin?
Besides the agreement?
Yes.
I'm not personally familiar with their discussions between those two parties.
You testified that in November of 2016, the town, I think it was one of your exhibits too, also where the town said the water would be shut off after a certain period of time. Are you aware of any conversations or resolutions that the company had with the town of Franklin after that day?
Okay, so can you refer to the page? You're referring to my testimony? And then can you refer to the page?
You can go to exhibit one, Junius exhibit one.
Correct. I thought you were talking like personal conversations. So I'm thinking either in person or on the phone. I wasn't referring to specific documents.
It could have been any.
So that was my misunderstanding of what you were referring to in terms of conversations.
Okay. And if I told you that the Riverbend Estates Water System and the Town of Franklin had spoken and come to an arrangement, would you have any reason to disagree with me?
In terms of a payment agreement, I would not disagree that they had this arrangement. However, they were not fulfilling it based on the records we have.
Did you ever, after this day, this is October 10, 2016,
correct,
did the Town of Franklin ever approach you with public staff or the commission and again state that the water was in imminent threat of being shut off?
It's my understanding that Mr. Graham Meyer spoke to the Town of Franklin and that was discussed.
You don't know about those dates or when that was?
I mean, we didn't file the petition to appoint emergency operator until, I believe, it was May. I get the exact date for you. I believe it was May 2nd, but if you give me enough time, I can find it. But we the public staff, okay, I'm mixing up dates and years. Okay. No, 2017, that was May 2017 when we appointed emergency operator. The public staff was having conversations with the Town of Franklin up to that point. We got the billing ledger, which was part of the evidence submitted in terms of the summary that payments were not happening after the February 26th.
Did you have any assurances from the town that they would not be shutting the water off?
When we came to them with the solution that we were going to appoint Carolina Water emergency operator and discussed a payment plan, that in November Carolina Water was going to start paying, I believe it's $1,500 a month to pay down the arrearage, they made assurances that water service would not be disconnected.
So if the imminent threat and the non-payment were the cause of your abandonment, now that we established the town had assured that the water would not be shut off, we've also established that Mr. Hardegree was still fixing leaks, does that change your opinion yet that the water system was abandoned, still abandoned?
No, because Carolina Water solved that problem, and Carolina Water can request at any time to be relieved of their duties as emergency operator, which would then put us right back in an emergency situation and an abandonment because the Town of Franklin could cut off service.
We should be notified.
Did you get a chance? Did you ever send a written notice to Riverbend Estates Water System that you would be seeking penalties of $1,000 a day?
We did not, besides my pre-filed testimony.
And did you ever send a notice, because you're seeking personal liability in this case with Mr. Hardegree, did you ever send a notice to him personally that he would be subject to $1,000 a day penalties? Any written notice whatsoever?
Not to my knowledge, besides my pre-filed testimony, which was served to all parties to this case.
Why was it that you couldn't trust the meter reading sheets that were provided to you in response to the emergency operator order that showed consumption rates? Why did you have to rely back on 2012-2013?
It was not 12 consecutive months. We also were unsure were those meters functioning properly, so we don't know if that data is accurate. So there's a number of factors there.
So even if Mr. Hardegree had provided every month, you still would have doubted the information. You still would have used the old data so that it really didn't matter that you didn't provide the data.
Not necessarily. If we had complete data, we would assess, would this be representative or would this be the best available information? So is old data better than potentially inaccurate new data? Was the old data potentially inaccurate? We would have to weigh all factors there and make a decision.
Did you ever ask to physically come and inspect the records of the water system?
I actually volunteered to drive to Riverbend Estates offices and inspect the documents, and that's a five-hour drive from Raleigh.
And didn't you receive assurances from me that that would be available to you?
We did receive assurances from you. However, you had went to the offices and indicated that the records were hard to find, they may not exist, and that you were going to do your best to get us what we needed.
So as it relates to Chapter 6234 relating to investigating companies under its control and 6251, inspecting books and records, are you saying that the difficulty of finding records or the messiness of the office was relevant in that?
I would say those records were not readily available, and also it was indicated to us that there was a laptop with electronic records which were locked and we would not have access to.
But you are testifying here today that the office was available to you.
It was, however, we were verbally deterred from going to the office, I will say.
Oh, you've done some real estate research on Mr. Hardegree. I want to ask you about the deed of trust. You've mentioned this in your testimony about a deed of trust from TD Bank N.A.
That's correct.
And what was the purpose of Mr. Hardegree taking that loan out?
It's an equity line of credit, and I don't know what the purpose was of that document.
Yet you think that he should have paid those proceeds to the water system.
The purpose of including that document is to show that he has financial maneuverability to potentially make that payment.
Do you know where the money that was funded from that loan, where it went?
We do not, and we clearly state we do not know how much was taken out of that balance, if any. Or the purpose.
And you also testified, I think, to a question that deed of trust has not been satisfied. Is that accurate?
That is correct. We saw no record filed with the Register of Deeds that indicates that was satisfied.
I'm going to refer to your exhibit number 11, Junis exhibit number 11, page 105. It's a printout from our Register of Deeds. And do you have it in front of you? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know... The first item, line item there, is dated March 28, 2016. Do you know what that entry represents?
The first entry?
Yes.
So the public staff works as a team, and my attorney reviewed that document.
It's actually a cancellation of a deed of trust. It refers back to C-33-1649, which you have there down on June 17th, 2009. And if you go down there about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th from the top, you'll see it says DT, 1.42 acres.
Correct.
If I told you that the funds from that equity line deed of trust went to pay off a prior loan, would you have any reason to disagree with me based on these records?
I do not believe so.
And if those funds were used to pay off that loan, how do you know there are funds available that Mr. Hardegree had that should have been paid to the town of Franklin?
We're clearly saying that we did not state that deed of trust was funds available to pay it. We said it was the potential to.
So
we don't know how much was taken out. And we don't know what it was for.
So it's sort of speculative, kind of like the 19,000.
That is correct. We're trying to build a history from the limited documents available to show financial maneuverability of Mr. Hardegree.
Sitting here today, do you know whether or not Mr. Hardegree commingled any of his personal funds with company funds?
I do not know that for a fact.
You know what that means, commingling?
Yes.
I just checked. So if I told you that Mr. Hardigree continued to have leaks repaired in March, April, May of 2017, continued to inspect and read meters, that wouldn't change your opinion that he had intentionally abandoned the water system?
I would say it's a factor to consider. However, based on what I know right now and the limited information you're providing on those events, the conclusion would still be that he abandoned that system.
No further questions, Commission.
I have some brief redirect.
Mr. Grant Mayer, if you come up. Let's come back on the record. Mr. Grant
Mayer, redirect. Mr. Judas, we talked about the 19,000 that you had in your testimony that you estimated REWS bill for those 4 months. Do you remember that?
That is correct.
And the attorney for REWS said that was speculative. Is that correct?
As I remember, yes.
Okay. Now, you asked the company for those records, and they did not provide them to you. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, had they provided the actual records, they would not be speculative.
That is correct.
And isn't it a requirement that the company provide records of their billing upon request from the public staff or the commission?
That is correct.
Now, you remember the calculation that was done. You reviewed the calculation that was done to come up with the estimated $19,000?
That is correct.
Do you have that in front of you?
I do.
Can you basically explain briefly how that calculation was done?
So what we did is we took the amount that the consumption, total consumption, that the town of Franklin billed to REWS. We took that and we multiplied it by 60%. This is basically assuming that we made an assumption previous to, in our petition, that we anticipated there was significant leaks unaccounted for water. That was 40%. So that's why we went with 60% for this multiplication to reach an estimated gallons billed to the customers of REWS. And then we basically took that usage, multiplied it by the commodity charge or the usage rate that they're approved for, and got the consumption portion of what would have been billed. And then we took the number of customers times the base charge, and you get an amount. So you have the base charge and the commodity amount, and we added those together for the months of February, March, April, and May. And that's how we came up with the approximately, we rounded, our number came up to be $18,976. We rounded up to $19,000.
This is Rich talking about. We would request, and is this, that's a photocopy, but this is the actual work paper?
That is correct.
We would request that this be identified as Junis Redirect Exhibit 1.
Would be so identified.
Now, with respect to the records that were kept at the office of REWS, you were told, were you not, that the computer there that had the billing records was password protected?
That is correct.
And you did not, and you were not provided access to the password, is that correct?
That is correct.
So therefore, without the password, you cannot get the records on the computer?
That is correct.
Okay. We have no further questions.
All right. We're going to take 15-minute recess and come back, and we'll begin. Mr. Junis, we'll start with questions from the commission. Back on the record, and Mr. Junis is still on the witness stand. Are there questions from the commissioners? Commissioner Clyfelt.
Mr. Junis, do you have your pre-filed testimony there?
Yes, I do.
Exhibit 6. All right. Just want to know who prepared that. Did you prepare it? Did the town of Franklin prepare it, or did River Bend Estates want it?
I prepared this. I summarized the information available to us.
What was the source of the information that that exhibit was?
So that was some of the town bills provided by REWS, and then we also got basically an account ledger from the town of Franklin.
And you prepared this as if by comparing to that account ledger?
That is correct.
Mr. Junis, I did not see in your pre-file testimony, maybe I missed it, but I'm just curious, of the total arrearage that's owed to the town of Franklin, have you made any attempt to calculate how much of that is attributable to the difference in the usage rate charged by the town of Franklin to the company and the usage rate billed to the customers?
We did not do that, but it could be relatively easily done.
I would be interested in knowing that information.
Okay.
We would be glad to file a late file exhibit on that.
I'd like to know. Mr. Junis, in 2013, according to your pre-file testimony, the franchise was granted to River Bend Estates Water System, the current respondent. And what I can't tell from the materials is, was Mr. Hardegree or Mrs. Hardegree, were they personally named as co-franchisees or not? Was the sole franchisee the company, or were they named as co-franchisees individually?
It's my understanding the company, with the knowledge that they held the entirety of the stock.
The company was the sole franchisee.
That's correct.
That's all I have.
No questions.
Mr. Junis, on page 11, lines 6 through 8 of your pre-file testimony, you state that the Hardegrees had transferred the water system from River Bend Water Systems, Inc., to a newly formed corporation, River Bend Estates Water Systems, in which the Hardegrees owned 100% of stock. I have that right?
That's correct.
If you know, what was the date of the transfer?
I don't know the date off the top of my head. And I will make a point, since you asked that question, to reiterate that the utility land is still in the name of RWS, or River Bend Water System, Inc., and it was not transferred as required by the commission to River Bend Estates Water System, Inc.
Just a second.
Moment.
This is not the ordinary course that we're in activity. Back on the record. So you were testifying that the ownership is still in the River Bend Water Systems, not River Bend Estates, as far as you know.
That's correct.
Okay. And were the Hardegrees 100% owners of the stock in the River Bend Water Systems?
That's correct.
And before this transfer and renaming, did the Hardegrees, to your knowledge, seek or receive commission approval for the transfer?
It's my understanding that they did receive a certificate of public convenience and authority in docket number W390 sub 11.
What year was that?
That was February 26, 2013.
On page 12 of your pre-file testimony, you state beginning in August 2015, REWS only made partial purchase bulk water payments each month to the town of Franklin. Did Mr. Hardegree, in any communications that you've had, offer any explanations as to why the payments were only partial?
My understanding, and that's based on the telephone conversation I had with him, is that he was basically struggling to make money, but I don't know the reason why. So I offered the solution of you should probably file a pass-through because you're a purchased water system. But I don't know the exact contributing factors.
You indicated that you offered him some types of examples of how to come to the commission and get the pass-through, correct?
That's correct.
And you also testified there was no follow-up to do that.
That's correct.
Was the reason ever given as to why they didn't come back? Or did they say they would come back?
I was told that Mrs. Hardegree would contact me because she handles the billing. She's the one that would be more likely to actually handle the filing and would ask questions that would facilitate that filing. However, she never reached out. And I had given contact information, and clearly Mr. Hardegree could get a hold of me.
Do you consider that REWS and Mr. Hardegree have been cooperative in trying to help you get the financial records that the public staff was seeking?
The ones we received, we felt were cooperative. However, the ones we have not received, we feel is not cooperative. I mean, to say that a computer is locked, but there's a person, Mrs. Hardegree knows that password, that information should be able to be provided, and it wasn't. So I would call that non-cooperative.
What other efforts are you aware of that the public staff made to get the financial information?
I mean, we spoke personally to Mr. Sloan, Mr. and Mrs. Hardegree on the phone. Clearly, we went the path of contacting the town of Franklin to get information. We sent an official email to try to get the information. It was in our petition. So I think we made a concerted effort to get it.
Did the town of Franklin provide you some information?
I mean, they can't provide individual customer, but they did provide a billing ledger, which we provided a summary. So, like, the total of payments since the prior bill, that's actually a sum of, at least typically, a sum of multiple smaller incremental payments.
Did you have an opinion as to whether it would have been worth your time to visit the Hardegree's office once you had been in communications with them in order to get the financial information?
It was my understanding that the company office within their personal household was in disorganized, that the computer had a lot of the records but could not be accessed because of a password issue. So I would say I was deterred from going, attempting to get those records in person.
Did you ever inform Mr. Hardegree that he nor REWS could abandon the obligation to provide utility service to customers without the commission's prior approval?
Yes. As soon as we were provided the letter that he sent his customers, I believe it was October 31st. It's one of my exhibits. Yeah, the exhibit 2. When we got a hold of that, we talked to Mr. Hardegree specifically and said he can't do that. It's his responsibility to provide service, and that those options really weren't feasible for these customers.
And that was Junis exhibit 2.
Junis exhibit 2 was the letter that he sent to his customer, that REWS sent to their customers. But as soon as we found out about that and got a hold of it, we started reaching out to the town and we reached out to Mr. Hardegree.
And referring back to that letter from Mr. Hardegree to customers, the letter also offered a third option that the customers somehow secure and operate the systems themselves?
That's correct. He suggests, and I'll quote it, REWS is for sale at $69,900 if you as a community would like to purchase the water system, close quote.
Did anyone follow up on that option, to your knowledge?
No, it's my understanding that no customers actively seek that solution, obviously because it's a large sum of money. However, the public staff has tried to facilitate the sale of the system to numerous other privately held utilities that are regulated by the commission.
Mr. Jones, do you know how old the system is?
I mean, it dates back to, I believe, the late 70s. So that puts it at almost 40 years old.
As I understand it, there was a show cause in 1973 around the same system.
Correct. So even older, 50. Yes, that's correct.
But do we know how? So the show cause was because system had been operating without being certificated.
That's correct.
Do we know how long it had been operating before the show cause issue?
I do not know that off the top of my head. We may have records within that original case.
And on page 12 of your direct testimony, line 5, there's a reference there to Mrs. Hardigree. Would that be Mrs. Diane Hardigree?
Yes, at that time, that would be Mrs. Diane Hardigree, his current wife.
On page 16 of your direct, there on line 9, there's reference there to vendors. Actually, that beginning on line 5, there's reference to vendors and suppliers and those kind of entities, correct?
That's correct.
And do you know if the suppliers at this point in time, if they have accounts receivable owed them related to this system?
I do not know that for a fact.
Now, we talked about a payment plan that Mrs. Hardigree signed.
That's
correct. The town of Franklin, I believe.
Yes.
Was it just one payment plan, or did I read somewhere at different points of time she had signed maybe another?
I'm only aware of the one that was that they were going to pay the bills plus the $500 a week to pay off the arrearage. I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't other arrangements, because typically if you basically failed to meet the first arrangement, you're going to try to set up another, and then if you do it again, maybe you're given another try. But at some point, that provider reaches a point where they won't go any further.
But and you're that's, not sure on your own knowledge, or you don't have...
I don't have personal knowledge to that.
All right. Do you know whether the customers continue to make monthly payments on their water bills after Mr. Hardigree stopped paying the town, which was February 21st or 22nd?
Yes, I do. I actually tonight saw people are paying their bills and actually have a discrepancy in terms of the balances that REWS reported to Carolina Water, and then Carolina Water tried to bill for. So they're basically being billed twice for the same usage.
Did customers continue to pay Mr. Hardigree after February 22nd?
Yes.
And for how long did they continue to pay?
Up until they started receiving bills from the Carolina Water.
And once they received bills from Carolina Water, they no longer owe.
That's my understanding. I don't know for a fact, because we don't have those records, but that would be my understanding.
Mr. Sloan asked you about a check that I believe was dated June 2016?
Yes, it was June 6, 2017.
Could you tell from review of that check when service had been delivered, when that was being paid for with that check?
The note in the bottom left-hand corner, I believe, indicated it was for testing services provided in March 2017 by EAS.
Prior to appointment of the emergency operator?
Correct. And we could verify that with the lab results we received as part of the commission's ordering paragraphs. I don't have that information available right now, though.
To your knowledge, has CWS made payments to the town of Franklin?
It's my understanding, or I don't know for a fact that they have.
You don't know whether they've made any payments to the town of Franklin since they've been emergency operator?
I don't know that for a fact.
All right.
Now, there are company representatives here that could speak to that.
Now, can you shed any light or explain your thinking or what you know about lines 18 through 20 on page 15 of your direct testimony? There you indicate that the customer list was generated on May 8th and likely included bills issued in April, but not the payments associated with those bills. Can you add anything?
The reason I came to that conclusion is that a majority, and let me... A majority of the accounts had a balance. Let me see here. Yeah, I mean, there were seven pages in terms of the account balances. Only one month had no accounts with a credit. So I believe people were paying. Now, based on the numbers of accounts below $50, and since the average bill was $38.79, that would make my assumption that that is either one month's bill that's sitting out there, and so likely they haven't paid. Because you would assume that a majority of customers are paying their bill every month. And so when 60% are under $50, but 40% are over $50, that suggests to me that likely the payments were not received for that month that was bill bound. For it to be there, it's so many balances.
Right, and earlier you testified with regard to leaks that had been confirmed, that there was a leak, and I believe it said a customer service after the meter.
So a leak after the meter would be water that goes to that meter and is measured, and they would be billed for it, but then it leaks and is not consumed. Typically, a utility, if it's, they're going to notify that customer when they find that. If they go out and read a meter and it's spinning rapidly when they're out there, they're going to make a note of that. And if usage is out of the ordinary, they might contact a customer and say that we think you may have a leak.
Now, the recommended penalty of $84,000, that penalty would be imposed as a punitive measure. That's your understanding?
That's my understanding.
And it's a civil penalty, correct?
That's my understanding.
But the proposal that the public staff is trying to work with is if he pays the $53,000 that is owed to the town, and that's $53,000 and some odd dollars that's owed to the town, that the penalties would not be pursued. Is that correct?
Yes, so the punitive penalties could not be used to pay that balance, and so it's the lesser of two evils. Do you want to pay the fine, or do you want to pay the town, which then solves a problem for these customers?
And so what happens if he pays, what happens with respect to the customers if the $53,000 is paid to the town by Mr. Hardigree?
I think that provides stability for their water service, and it also puts us kind of at ground zero to where you're potentially not in an emergency situation and a traditional transfer could be pursued, because clearly Mr. Hardigree does not want to operate Riverbend Estates water system anymore.
Well, from your testimony tonight, we do not know as of tonight whether CWS has made payments to the town of Franklin, but we know they've been ordered to at various points.
That's correct.
They will make payments on the current bill per the order, correct?
That is correct.
And they will eventually make payments on the arrearage.
In November, they would be required to make payments towards the arrearage.
And so recognizing that you're the engineer, you may not be able to answer. I think my question was a little bit more of an accounting question. Will that $53,000 and some odd, if it's paid by Mr. Hardigree, go to the direct benefit of the customer?
Yeah, I say yes, because if we get to November and CWS has to, or Carolina Water has to pay the town of Franklin on that arrearage, we then potentially have to reevaluate the provisional rates, and there may be an additional emergency increase.
All right.
Go ahead.
And Mr. Grantmeyer, if necessary, will supply late filed exhibit.
On exactly what?
On the accounting process, should do.
Yes. Yes, I will.
And only if necessary, doesn't come into play, I suppose, if there's no possibility of getting this payment. I'll leave that up to you. Questions on commission's question?
Who goes first? Is it me or?
You mentioned that there was a conversation with Mr. Hardigree after the October 31st letter that he sent out, and that you said you can't do that. Basically, you can't tell them they have to get wells, they can't to take over the system. How did he respond to you?
I don't recall his exact response. I mean, I'm a consumer advocate. I'm not actual authority over him, but I informed him that according to commission rules, he can't do that. And that's why I said, you know, there are other options.
Did he show a willingness to consider what you were saying and options you were putting forward?
It presented the idea of, would you consider selling the system? And I think he was at least semi-amenable to that, but without any details.
Did you talk about an emergency operator at that time?
I don't know if at the first conversation, but eventually it led to that conversation.
When was it? Shortly after that October 31st conversation?
Talked
about an emergency
operator? I believe so.
And was he agreeable to the emergency operator?
He was.
Did he in fact say, let's do that?
Yeah, he consented to it.
That's back cool. In November time frame?
That ballpark sounds about right.
Exhibit number, your exhibit number 3 and number 4, I believe you put them as official emails. Any confirmation that the Hardigrees received these emails? Do you have any confirmation?
So I only have confirmation that I didn't receive a kickback because I tried different email addresses. And so, like, I had used Riverbend, I believe it was Riverbend Estates Water System at gmail.com, and I got a kickback. And I believe there is another iteration. But with this iteration, for my official exhibits, I did not receive a kickback, that it was undeliverable.
Did you receive a reply from them on that email?
I do not believe so.
And when you, in your written testimony, you testified about leaving messages with both Mr. and Mrs. Hardegree?
I always spoke to Mr. Hardegree. I never spoke to Mrs. Hardegree except for a conference call with yourself, Mrs. Hardegree, and Mr. Hardegree.
Did you leave her?
Mr. Sloan, time this to commission's questions. This is a question on commission's questions.
No further questions.
I have two brief questions. You were talking about River Water System, Inc., that got the franchise in 1987, correct? And Mr. and Mrs. Hardegree, Geraldine Hardegree, and Ronald Hardegree were the sole owners.
Yes, that was Riverbend Water System, Inc.
And your Exhibit 9 in your testimony shows that that company was administratively dissolved by the Secretary of State December 1, 1993.
That is correct.
And you don't venture a legal opinion, not being a lawyer, as to what the title to that real estate then moved to upon the dissolution of the corporation?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, when the franchise was granted in 2013 to Riverbend Estates Water System, Inc., that is, the difference is the word estates with a new corporation, isn't it a responsibility of a franchised water company to own or control the assets of the utility system?
That is correct.
And so when this emergency operator and show calls arose, that's the first time the public staff realized that that transfer had never been made to Riverbend Estates Water System, Inc.
That is correct.
Now, with regard to the what effect if he pays the $53,000, the public staff in setting and recommending these rates included a piece for unaccounted for water in the recommended rates, and we included in the recommendation a piece for the water audit to discover what, if any, leaks there were in the systems.
That's correct.
So if, in fact, he does pay the $53,000 to the town, that could result in a rate reduction for the customers.
That would be true, because if Carolina Water has addressed leaks, that's going to decrease your unaccounted for water, which would bring down the purchased water expense, which would be then lower than the assumptions that were used for the provisional rates. So, yes, the opportunity for a decrease would be, but there's potential.
We have no further questions.
All right.
We would move that his pre-filed testimony be entered into evidence and his exhibits be entered into evidence and Junis redirect exhibit 1 be entered into evidence.
His testimony has been received in the evidence and his exhibits 1 through 13, I believe.
Yes,
that's correct.
Be received into evidence and Junis redirect exhibit 1 also will be received into evidence.
There is an objection, Commission. A lot of this is hearsay, but I'd ask you to not consider the testimony in here that's hearsay or that's speculative, as we demonstrated across. We don't have the town of Franklin here. We have some bills from the town of Franklin, no authenticity on some of those records. Pictures from the website, real estate records without authentication. So we do have quite a few objections. I don't want to take up the time of the commission. If we may brief those and reserve that objection and brief those later.
You may brief those, but the commission will receive them for whatever value they have, and we will take into consideration your arguments and brief.
Okay, thank you.
And the objection will be preserved. All right. Then, Mr. Jones, you excuse.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have information?
You guys clearly understand we're going to have lights for up hours. The generator will cover the lights, but the likelihood that we get full power is not going to happen. Not soon.
As you can tell, we're having difficulties with power. In the whole building, we're on a generator, and the generator is not able to carry the whole building, including the air condition.
Generator, not generator.
And so we're in a dilemma because we've traveled here to be sure that we were near you so that you could participate fully in this hearing, and we want you to have that opportunity. You're taking the time to come out. But we're concerned that it won't be safe because when these lights go, it'll be complete darkness, as you witnessed before. So we're going to continue this hearing to a date unspecified at this point because we'll have to go back and coordinate it with our scheduler and get the same panel of commissioners back and bring Mr. Hardigree back. Ma'am, I see your hand out.
Can I please testify? I think with documentation, I can speak on behalf of a lot of people that have the same experience as I do.
Mr. Grantmire, and we were discussing that option, and I'm willing. I don't want anyone to feel like they were denied their opportunity. We can go. Mr. Sloan has no objection to hearing from the customer.
Yeah. Is it agreed that this young lady can speak for the group, and then y'all could just affirm what she said because she's prepared a lot and she had the testimony and she's ready to go.
Excuse me, is there going to be another meeting? Are we going to come back?
There will be another meeting.
Unless the matter is resolved.
Unless it's resolved.
Right.
So we would like for this young lady, they're all here, she's ready to go, and then after that we could continue it to the next town. Whenever that is.
Agreeable to?
It is agreeable.
All right, one more witness.
Shall I stand here?
No, you need to come up and be sworn.
Okay. You can take, you see the Bible there?
Yes.
Conceal that and solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, ma'am.
Please state your name.
My name is Beth Curry, and I live at 222 Zonka Road in Riverbend's estate. I moved to the area at the end of July 2014. We knew that we were going to purchase a home and would be closing on August 15, 2014. August 1st, we established service with Riverbend Estate's water system. I had my first bill dated from August 2nd, 2014 to September 1st, 2014. I have all the bills except one that I've received since I've been a paying customer. Yes.
I know that the circumstances in this room just aren't normal, but slow down and be sure to court report
okay.
If you catch everything.
I started paying for service in August of 2014, and we had the bills to establish that. I came home from school. I was a teacher at the time, and I have three sons. We came home from school in October of 2014 and found that our water had been cut off, even though I'd been paying the bills. I called Mr. Hardigree and asked him why, and he said he had received a call from the owner in Florida and said that to stop billing them because they were no longer the owners. I had informed Mr. Hardigree that I had been paying the bill for that residence since August, and we had always paid our bills, and he said, okay, and he told me how to turn the water back on. So I then went out there and turned the water back on for myself. So that was, again, we'd been there less than 2 months, and that was the start of many problems. I contacted Catherine Ferguson, the previous owner of our house. Again, we closed in August of 2015. They continued to get billed 2 months afterwards, even though I was being billed as well. They were paying Mr. Hardigree, and I was paying Mr. Hardigree for the house at 222 Zonka Road. Service continued. I do have the bills that we received. Normally, when I receive a bill, say it was for $38.50, I would pay it for $39. I would round up for my checkbook keeping purposes to an even dollar amount. There were many instances where I had paid over and was not given credit for it. There were times where we would go 2 months at a time and not get a bill. And I thought from maybe work being busy, my kids coming home from school, maybe I missed a bill. So even though I hadn't received a bill, I would go ahead and pay an estimate. Well, then later on when we would get billed for 2 months, it would show that I was billed for those 2 months. But even though he had cashed my check, that amount was not applied to my account. There were multiple times where that happened. There was a time in, I'll fast forward to July 2015. We did not receive a bill, but we received a letter basically stating that nobody had read the meter, so we're just going to ask you to volunteer to pay $53.69, whether or not you used that much. There were other times, like I said, where my check cleared the bank but was not applied to my account. And starting last summer of 2016, July 2016, I started having a balance forward of $100 that he never substantiated. I sent him copies of my previous statements, my cleared checks from the bank, and said, I have already paid all of my bills. Where is this balance forward coming from? He never substantiated it, still continued to show it as a past bill that was due, and threatened to cut off service. December of 2016, made a file with the Better Business Bureau. March 2017, the Better Business Bureau said Mr. Hardegree never responded to them. Was the case closed? And I told them, I said, he's never responded to me either. He continued to bill me. I continued to get paid, and that's what these will show. The last bill that I received was for 2 months, and it came to a total of $109.27. I paid it on May 1st of 2017. It cleared the bank on June 12, 2017. So we had it over a month. However, when the billing was given to Carolina Utilities, Inc., they showed that I still owed that amount, even though I had paid Mr. Hardegree that amount. There have been many times where he's just, again, demonstrated complete business incompetence towards me and other customers. The house behind me at 176 Zonka Road has been lived in since February of this year. The people living there have never received a water bill. In October of this year, there was a water leak in the road. It was not billed to me. It was not in my house. It was in the road. I called Mr. Hardegree and told him about it. He came and saw it that day and said, well, it wasn't leaking that much water. It was just a little puddle. He would take care of it later. And so a week later, he came and that was repaired. And to me, that just demonstrates that that shows incompetence to let even a small leak go continuously for that length of time. I would say that a lot of us can demonstrate how we have paid our bills, but the account it's not been applied to our account. And now that it's had to go into an emergency situation, my water bill went from being in the 50s to now $114.83 a month. As a family of five that lives on an income of about $41,000 a year, having to pay $115 for a water bill is an economic hardship. And again, would my neighbors have the same complaints to have been in the same situation that I have been? I've paid my bills, and now I'm being penalized because he hasn't paid the town of Franklin, and I'm paying an excessive burden, financially for now what has happened to our bills. And I say I think all of us just want reliable service at a fair price.
Yes. Ms. Curry, you were getting bills up through May from Mr. Hardegree,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And your testimony was you paid the bills as
yes.
received.
Yes.
Now, with respect to
your bills, would you allow us to...
You can make copies of anything you need to.
Will you allow us to take those back to Raleigh and identify those as Curry Exhibit 1? And if we promise to send them all back to you after we make copies?
Yes.
What? Okay, we will redact your...
Right, with my bank account numbers and stuff.
Your personal information. I didn't see the checks there. But we will redact all personal information. So could we have those? I'll take them to Raleigh and then send them to the reporter. That's all we have.
How many pages? Describe what it is, Mr.
I have the statement that was issued at the summer of 2015 stating that they're just asking, even though there was no meter readings, they're asking all the customers to pay $53.69. I have the evidence of the check for my last bill that I had paid, plus my first bill for the Utilities, Inc. that shows I have a back balance.
A single page.
Yes, Better
she has
Business
a lot of
Bureau.
Pages here.
Report, and these are all the bills except one that I've received from Riverbend Estates Water System since we moved in August 2014.
All right. Do you know how many that is? How many bills?
It's probably 30, 40 total pages here.
Mr. Sloan, do you want to look over these?
I just send me a copy of whatever copy.
We'll send you a copy.
That's fine.
Right, these collective items that have been described for the record.
28
bills.
That's the bills, and then she has these other pages.
Right.
Better Business Bureau and so forth.
They're all single pages, and then there's 28 bills.
There was also this that we received in the mail that was stating that the quality control test on the water had not been performed in January and February of 2013, and then also the notices about the utility decrease that they had mentioned before, and then also some of the quality control reports as well.
All right. All of that will be received in Montrose Public Staff Curry Exhibit Number 1. The public staff will make copies and get the originals back to you.
And a copy to Mr. Sloan of everything.
And as you make the copy, you will number the pages.
Absolutely.
Any questions?
No questions.
Yeah, I have her address.
It's on there, too.
Any questions from the commission?
All right. So you have
no questions. Questions.
And as we, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Ms. Curry, the home behind you,
yes.
You said it had been there for a while and wasn't getting built at all.
It was empty for several months because of a divorce settlement, but I believe they closed and moved in the house in February of this year, and they've never received a bill.
After they reoccupied the house?
Correct.
Do you know if that house has a meter at all?
I don't know. I think it does. I think I remember seeing one as you go down the driveway. But again, I've talked to our new neighbors, and they've never received a water bill at all since they've been there.
Ms. Curry, do you know the number?
I think it is 176. I know it's on Zonka Road. Again, I'm at 222, and there's an empty parcel next to us, and it's the drive that goes down to it. I think it is number 176 Zonka Road.
Any questions on commission's questions?
And as we said earlier, you know, we were going to, in order to limit it to just one witness, all those that agree that they've had billing issues in the past of one way or another with REWS, would you please stand? Okay. For the record, that's about 40 customers, 35.
You count
them,
Mr. Grant, right?
It's hot in here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35.
Some left already.
She's 36, so we're close.
All right. The record will reflect that 35 to 36 customers. I'll complain that they have...
He owns two properties, so we're up to 36.
I'll complain that they have billings issues. Now, we may be back, unless the matter is resolved between these two parties before that time. And when we come back, nobody's foreclosed from an opportunity, so long as it fits in Mr. Grantmeyer's case in chief. And we are still in Mr. Grantmeyer's case in chief when we resume. So, with that said, unless the council has something that I'm overlooking that needs to be taken care of in this situation, this is my first time with the power outage. Then we will recess to a time uncertain today, but we'll send out notice to everybody, and hopefully we'll be able to come back here again. And I do know that the commission has some more rescue trips, and that is how I got this one set, and we'll look to see if we can do that again. All right, I thank you for your patience, and I'm sorry this happened. We'll be in your
Okay. Everybody, before you...